So we're in Navadvipa hearing the wonderful glories of Nityananda's associates. And we heard Kali Krishnadas last time, about remembering him. We get so much benefit. Sadashiva Kaviraja Mahabhagyavan Janarpucha Purushottam Dasanam. Sadashiv Kaviraj. Well, that's an appropriate name to remember today. Advaitacharya is Mahavishnu Sadashiv. He's a source of all the eternal jivas. He's the auspicious source of all the eternal jivas. Sadashiva, Sadajiva. We're the Sadajivas and he's the Sadashiva. He's the origin of us all. As I was speaking informally at one point, maybe the two of you, how it's very interesting scenario if you simplify the whole cosmos into a few true statements, that the origin of the jivas in this conditioned world is Mahavishnu. I know he's like, you have suns, just take it in a microcosm, because microcosm and macrocosm, the universe is within, the universe is without. Because the same thing as it applies for Krishna, it applies for us also. We are inside everything, we're outside of everything. Mayamadamidam savam implies Krishna. We are many gods, he's the maxi god. He's a complete god, we're the partial god. So everything is inside of us, but we're outside of it. We're of zero, the same as Krishna's, everything is in his belly. Everything's in our belly also, but we're outside of it. We're observing it. We're the sakshi, we're the kshetragya. This whole universe is a field and Krishna is the observer. This whole body is a field and we're the observer. This is the existential truth. That's why the sages and rishis, when they study God, you study yourself, you can understand God. But then here's the catch. Eko bahunam yovaradati kama. That's the bait. That's the bait. There's a bait and bait. Nitya, I'm nitya. Consciousness, he's consciousness. But then fulfillment, and then I'm lacking. I'm lacking fulfillment. The power of fulfillment I don't have. So then I have desire, but no power of fulfillment. So then I become dependent on the Supreme. Eko bahunam yo vidadati kaman. The kaman. I'm an agent of icha, desire. But only one can fulfill them, and that's God, and no other. That's the misnomer of the material creation. We think someone else can fulfill my desires other than God. Eko bahunam yo vidadati kaman. There's one who fulfills the desires of the many. We are the many, he is the one. And we transport that, or let's say translate that into this one woman will fulfill all my desires, or this one entity will fulfill, this one object will fulfill all my desires. All my desires can be narrowed down to one object. And that touchstone to fulfill all my desires is money. Gold. That's the general consensus. And then there's that's the physical, intransient, or it's intangible, insentient aspect of our being, the impersonal aspect. But then the personal, emotional aspect demands satisfaction also. So then we require a woman or man. So then that one who can do everything gets replaced by two, money and woman, money and man. Man is money, man is pleasure, woman is pleasure. For the man, for the woman, man is money and pleasure. But Krishna is saying, this is wrong, alter consciousness, this is wrong consciousness. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam. Your eternally conscious entity, part of the supreme eternal consciousness, me, eko, me. Mam ekam sharanam, but it's a very interesting idea if you trace it out in the Vedic literature, this concept of eka, the personality of eka, the impersonality and personality of ek. Ek is one, ek is all-pervading. But ultimately, ek is personal and emotional and loving and charming. So this is his day. It's our day. The Jiva's liberation day is his birthday. Advaita's Avrabhav is a Jiva's, Tirobhav is a Jiva's, is in Jiva's Mukti. Advaita's Avrabhav is a Jiva Mukti. There's no other reason for him to come. Why should he come? Kids are in trouble. The father went to help them. It's very simple. Father has 10 children, and 9 flew the coop. They ran away to the city and started living there in rather ignoble ways. And then the father felt compassion. He said, all right, I guess I have to go myself. So many other people have gone to this, my creation, to bring back my children. So many other avatars, and even Ram, and so many went there. And still my children, some children got benefited by these various avatars and incarnations, but so many of my children are not back with me. So then he comes as Advaitacharya. And then he starts preaching, chanting Hare Krishna, which is the Yuga Dharma for this age, the liberation age. Everyone welcome, everyone liberated. But then he finds out, wait a minute, this is a really big task here. My children are not listening to me. No one's coming, they're not coming to my classes, they're not chanting the holy name with me. No matter how much I preach, I'm old, I'm not that young to start with. I mean, God is an old man with a beard, right? The Christians say that God is an old man, he's the oldest man. He's the creator, so they always depict God with long hair and long beard. So God came, it's a fact. Hindus confirm the Christians believe. God has a long white beard and he's an old man. So God is Mahavishnu, and he comes with a long white beard and he's an old man. Isn't that right? It's a matter of being a philosopher, analytical, looking at things from a broader perspective, integrated viewpoint. Integrate all the things, all the traditions, all the viewpoints of religion and existential understanding of reality. And you see the unity everywhere. But the beauty, underpinning of the whole presentation is the ultimate compassion, love of God in his very many forms. So Mahavishnu is the original God. First he sent his son, Jesus, and so many other partial representations. But then Mahavishnu came himself. So this is his Avirbhav Tithi, Advaita Saptami. And he came on this is the most auspicious day for the sun planet of the year. Saptami. Sun is exalted now and moving into his exalted time. Saptami is his consort. The sun is prime mukhya consorts are Chaya Devi and Samgya Devi. But Saptami is one of his consorts. She's a Devi. So this is her day. She's the Saptami Mata. She's the mother of all Saptamis. There's 24 Saptamis in the year, and this is they're all her children, her daughters. So this is a very, very important day too. That's why it's so much stressed to worship the sun god and his consort. Because it's always Yuga Puja everywhere in the Hindu firmament. In the Hindu religious viewpoint, it's always Yuga Puja. Even the Mayavadi concept of meditation incorporates Shakti Shaktiman. No, it's two, even though they say it's one. The two. They take the Linga as Shiva Linga as representative of Brahman, but the Shiva Linga is never devoid of the Yoni. The Yoni is Shakti. They say that the Linga, the Mayavadis very much say do Shiva Puja and worship the Shiva Linga. But Shiva Linga cannot be done without the Yoni. So there we have Yuga Puja, its most primal form. Narrow consciousness viewpoint. And the broadest consciousness is the fullest expression of Yuga Puja, Radha Krishna Yuga, Radha Govinda Yuga. So Advaitacharya, this is Saptami and the sun god, so we worship the sun god and Saptami Devi on this holy day by offering, what can you offer in Kali Yuga? We have such paltry existences with such limited opulences and plastic chairs. Plastic chairs and plastic plates, cardboard plates and plastic chairs. Everything made out of tamagun. Oil is tamagun. It's the guts. If you take something out of your intestines and make a chair with it, that's a sattvic production. If you take something out of your bowels and form it into a chair or an airplane or a stainless steel drinking cup, it's a stool. It's the belly of the earth. It's the balance. It just creates balance in the earth. It's black. It's tamasic energy. It's energy. The source is tamagun, inside dark place. Where does it come? Oil comes from the darkest inner region of the earth, the belly of the earth. It's black. It's tamagun. So the energy produced by such a substance will be tamasic by nature, destructive, ungodly. So that's the situation of the world. From tamagun can make sattvagun. But all these other things, you know, gold and silver and jewels, they're all raja and sattva. Sadashiva Kaviraj was most fortunate. He had a son named Purushottam Das, who was also a great devotee. So this is a brief description of an unlimited Vaishnava who has oceanic qualities. He's a Nitya Parishad, Ananta Shesh, with his thousand mouths cannot actually reach the end of the glories of one of these Parishads. So Sadashiva Kaviraj was most fortunate, Mahabhagyavan. So he's, two qualities are mentioned. He was the most fortunate, and he had a devotee son named Purushottam Das. His son's name wasn't Rocky. Or his daughter's name wasn't Pinky. Rocky and Pinky and all the interesting names people give their children in India now. He named his son after God, Ramachandra, Vishnu, Krishna, and his name was Das. He himself was obviously a Vaidya, a doctor by trade, so he was referred to as a Kaviraj. He was also a Brahmin. Many Brahmins become Vaidyas. And his name was Sarashiva Kaviraj Das. And this is Purushottam Das. So he had a son, so his life is glorious and fortunate. Only because of that, it's considered bhagya to have a son. That if a man is married, has no son, he's considered unfortunate. It's a nishfal vivaha. Fruitless marriage. It's said like that. It's according to Shastra that a marriage without a putra, a son, is a tree, a mango tree without mangoes. Shastras don't try to make friends and win influence people. They simply tell the truth, and smart people are influenced. So let's look at it. He's very fortunate because he. Why was he fortunate? Because he is an eternal associate of the Lord. That makes one fortunate. So we will become fortunate when we become eternal associates of the Lord. And he had a son, so he's fortunate because he had extremely fortunate because he had a son, and he was more fortunate because his son was a devotee. And these are all things to add to a human being. Who is a truly fortunate, a Mahabhagyavan, one may be Bhagya, Janmaisraya Shuta Shribir, that's considered Bhagya, to have some length of life, significant length of life, sufficient wealth, and comfortable life, and good money, and healthy, beautiful body, that's considered Bhagya. Results of good karma. But Mahabhagyavan, to possess the greatest fortune, then one must have a cut above the rest. Not simply beauty, life and wealth and knowledge. but he must have true fortune, because real fortune is what brings one eternal happiness and eternal joy. And that's the only connection with God that makes one truly fortunate. And that's described in the Vedic literature. Brahmanda Brahmate Kon Bhagyavan Ajiv Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhai Bhakti Latavij. That you can travel throughout the whole universe on the power of your punya and bhagya. From Swarga to Gandharva Loka to Swarga Loka to Janaloka, all over the universe you can travel on the wings of your bhagya and punya. And cage yourself in various bodies and enjoy fantastic lifespans and fantastic beauty and fantastic wealth and opulence and influence and pomp and majesty. But you die and start again. So your fortune fizzles out and evaporates faster than you can count, faster than you can think. But when one meets Guru, then he becomes Mahabhagyavan. Brahmanda Brahmate Kon Bhagyavan Ajiv Guru Krishna Prasade Bhai Bhakti Lata Bij. Because he gets the seed of eternity placed in his heart. His sojourn in the non-existent temporal realm is over. Because the seed of eternity has been placed in his heart. That is Mahabhagya. That is the greatest fortune. So of course that was the eternal fortune of Sada Shiva being a Nitya Parishad. We're Nitya Bhada. But Nitya Bhada can become Nitya Siddha by that seed of eternity, by that fortunate meeting of Guru and fortunate gift of Guru. So we can see how this phrase, glorification of Sada Shiva, can extend itself in various rivers of relevance to apply to all of us. Like the vast Ganga splits into various sub-rivers as it comes from Gangotri. One branch, Brahmaputra is one branch, and Alakananda Ganga. And there's different names, as you may know. Mandakini Ganga. So this bhagya of the seed of eternity. Bhakti is eternal. Love is eternal. God is eternal. The jiva is eternal. But it all starts with the seed of eternity given by Guru. And to top it off, if that wasn't enough, he had this wonderful son who was a devotee, pure devotee, Purushottam Das. So repeat after me. So this is very wonderful glories of Sadashiva Kaviraj. He is Mahabhagyavan, and we've also become Mahabhagyavan. Not of the same caliber, naturally. He's a Nitya Parishad. He's eternally Mahabhagyavan. But from the point where we, from the time we receive the seed of eternity at Diksha, we have become Mahabhagyavan. Now we're Mahabhagyavan. That's undeniable. And he has a son named Purushottam Das. So we are also the sons of Purushottam Sri Krishna. We have entered the Achyuta Gotra with our auspicious great fortune of taking Diksha. So we become the sons, we become Putra Purushottam. Yes, that's us. We're also the son of Purushottam. Lila Purushottam Sri Krishna Ki Jai. So we see the application of these words and glories of this great devotee. He's glorious because of his identity, his position, and his possession. His possession is the eternal wealth of Krishna Prema, which makes him the richest person in the creation. And he's fortunate because he has a son named Purushottam Das. So we have that Mahabhagyavan also, and we're also Putras, we're also sons of Lila Purushottam. So please repeat after me, because we want to purify ourselves by hearing from you and repeating the name of this glorious Vaishnava. May we always remember the names. May we forget. We should pray. Krishna, you have a dual function. You give remembrance, you give forgetfulness. I pray to remember all the good things and good people and good thoughts and ideas and places. I pray for that remembrance. And I also simultaneously pray for forgetfulness. of all the mundane places and mundane ideas and mundane concepts and desires, and especially the mundane people that I've heard about, that I've met, that I've seen, that I've worshipped, that I idolized, the sports heroes and movie stars and heroes and heroines and friends and relatives and lovers. May I forget them all wholesale in one snap of a finger. You can do it. Krishna, you have the power. With a blink of your eye, you can destroy the entire creation. What to speak of, annihilate my memories of the non-essential and my intensely deep remembrances of all mundane people, places, things, actions, thoughts, and desires. It's nothing for God. He can lift a universe on his head and spin it like a top. You hold a basketball on the end of your finger and spin it when you're hot shot in basketball. And you're playing with that and you take the ball and go like that. And go like that.
Toot.
Some of you have mastered different sports arts. Or maybe cricket. You know how to make the cricket ball dance the way you want to. Curve the way you want if you're a good pitcher, whatever you call, baller, bowler, whatever you call it. What do you call the guy who throws the ball?
Baller.
Baller. That's a very intelligent idea. Bhayanahi purushottam dasara sharire nityananda chandra janra ridaye vihare. So we heard this sun mentioned as part of the paraphernalia of auspiciousness, part of the what makes Sadashiva Kaviraj auspicious. I wanted to repeat his name actually, it slipped my mind. I'll say, you say. You just hear and then repeat. Sadashiva Kaviraj ki jai.
Jai.
So now we briefly heard about he has a son, and now he's taking it, wants to glorify his son because he's also Nityaparishad. Bhayanai Purushottam Dasara Sharire Nityananda Chandra Janra Ridaye Bihare. The Sharir of Purushottam Das, the body of Purushottam Das, displayed no external consciousness. Bhayachit nahi. Because Nityananda Chandra resided in his heart. Nityananda Chandra Janra Ridaye Bihare. Ridaye Bihare. Ridaye Bihar. Ridaya Bihar. This is how is it possible to have anything to do with the external world, Bahiranga Shakti, or this Maya Shakti, or Maya Jagat, or external consciousness, if God is forever residing in your heart? Such a person who is God-realized and ever in the presence of God is certainly considered otherworldly by common people. He's often judged to be avadut, personalities like Judd Barrett. Judd Barrett was always living in the presence of God within his mind and heart and consciousness. He was aloof to the world. Children would spit on him when he walked through the village. They would urinate on him. They would pass stool and throw stool on him and call him dirty names. And he didn't even know it. He would lie down on the footpath and lie on top of stool or bones or anything. Didn't matter. His body was, the only thing external about him was his body was apparently in the material energy. But his chitta, his consciousness, was totally separated. This is, he was 24/7 out of body experience. They have terms like this in psychiatry and other new age studies, hypnotism and dream analysis and manipulation through meditation, yoga, other type of astral travel, OBE they call it, out-of-body experiences, where the soul maintains a connection with the gross body by the subtle pranic cord. They call it the cord, the pranic cord. It's an invisible cord, like a cord that connects a parachute to a paratrooper. It's tied to his back, around his belt of his parachute, and his rope goes like that and expands into the parachute. And he comes down with that on his back if he's gliding, or on his shoulders, depends on how it's mounted. So the jiva maintains connection, the jivatma maintains connection with the gross body by the subtle pranic cord. The subtle body is connected to the gross body, what's called the pranic cord. So the yogis, they can travel. They travel to other universes even, and their astral body, subtle, and their consciousness body, consciousness. But they come back because there's connections there. Like homing pigeons. Homing pigeons fly away from the home, but somehow they remember. They fly 400 kilometers north to some other village with a message to a friendly king. And then tied around their ankle, they have a message. I'm being attacked from the south by troops of so-and-so. Please come to my help. I can hold them off for 2 weeks, and it should take you about 10 days to get here. Please come. So this is how they communicated, by pigeons. They would write back and say, okay, I'm calling my armies now together. I should be there in 8 days to help you. So the pigeon goes back. No radar. Radar can't detect. No spy can detect. It's the best pigeon communication system. PCS. Can't beat it. They fly 400 kilometers. What's in Delhi to Radhakund? It's nothing. It's nothing. Amazing world out there. So little we know of it. So they know to come back exactly where they left. They don't go land in the wrong house, or they don't land in the enemy's house. So then he knows, hey, wait a minute. And he sends half his army the other way to greet them on the way. And maintains his attack on the previous guy. So the support never arrives. So in the same way that soul traveling, astral travel far away from the gross body, he knows to come back by the astral cord. So his consciousness was always with Nityananda. He was not connected to this external body. No external consciousness. It doesn't mean that he was sleeping all day. He was in a Sankirtan party. He was moving here and there. But he was, as Jesus said, and no one ever followed. I don't think one Christian ever followed Jesus' teaching except himself. He had great teachings, but no followers. Maybe a handful here and there, the apostles, I suppose. Be in the world, but not of the world. Sounds easy enough. Simple aphorism. That's in Jesus' Sutra. The world is our body. Our body is the world. So he's in your body, but don't be of your body. Be in your chitta, chit body, chit deha. Be in your God conscious body. A body that's always conscious of God and serving, remembering God. Love the Lord with all thy thoughts, words, and deeds. We grew up with very good principles and teachings as a Christian, which we embraced and tried as best we could in the context of malicious society. How can you love when you're surrounded by demons? Very difficult to love God when you're surrounded by atheists. The world is full of atheists. So he was like this. He would be the best Christian that ever walked the face of the earth, Purushottam Das. In no external consciousness, God was always residing in his heart, Hridaya Vihar. It doesn't say Hridaya Vas, it says Vihar. Vas is residence, to live, to pass one's time, the domicile there. But he was Vihar, he was having pastimes in his heart. And Because some people, they have this phrase sometimes, oh, he's living in his mind. He's a dreamer. He's a dreamer. He's always living in his mind. He's not, you're not, hey, wake up. You're not, in, you got to live in the real world. You're always living in a dream world. Always talking about, wouldn't it be nice if this, wouldn't it be nice if that. I grew up with people like that. Oh, wouldn't it be nice if this happened? Hey, okay, it would be, but it's not happening. Get real. Get with it. Come down to earth. Get real. Ground yourself. Get grounded. Come back to the ground. Land your plane. Get a job. Don't just sit around dream. Call pipe dreams. You smoke pipe, which has particular inducing herbs in it, which propel your dreams to new heights. And then you have a pipe dream. And your imaginative ecstasies of utopia. Your imaginative ecstasies of utopia, you spout off various attractive and interestingly beautiful philosophies. And weave a tapestry of perfection that everyone's attracted to. When no one can actually enter. No one can lie in your tapestry because it's made of thoughts and not reality. A thought blanket. Can you lie in a thought blanket? Can you cover yourself with a blanket of thoughts? People do. We devotees try to envelop ourselves and cover ourselves with a blanket of good thoughts. Kirtaniya Sadahari. What does that mean? It means cover yourself with a blanket of good thoughts. Always cover ourselves with the Maha Mantra. All purifying, all prophylactic, and all ecstatic. This is the holy name. It's purifying, protective, and ecstatic, joy producing. The more one chants the holy name, the more he realizes these points, and the more he experiences Nityananda Hridaya Vihar. Nityananda's playing in the heart. It's his play. Divine play of Nityananda. So we want to enter the play. Lila, Vihar means play. Divine play, Rasa play, the play of Lila. The land of play. Purushottam, the play lord. Who can imagine God plays? God plays? He has a sandbox and toys and... Yeah. Sometimes, but he also grows up. He grows? When he's little, he has a sandbox and toys and dolls. And he throws dirt bombs and has slingshots. He has slingshots and dirt bombs. Shakes trees and gets fruits or throws. Has a special sling. He puts a rock in the sling and takes a shot. And knocks off an amalaki fruit or bale fruit. And they crack it open on Madamangal's head. No. They crack it open. They crack it open on some hard-headed coward boy, and then they scoop out the contents and eat it as it is. You don't have to make bale juice because those bale fruits don't have any seeds. They make a mango look like a Corella. Those are Krishna's amalaki. Not amalaki, I mean Krishna's bale fruits. So this is the games they play. So Krishna plays. So he's a lord of play. He plays with sand. He plays with shadows. He plays with stones. He plays with dirt. He plays with water. He plays with frogs. He plays with monkeys. He plays with cows. He plays. Then he grows up and he changes the object of play. Starts playing in the sand and rubbing his hands through the sand. Starts rubbing his hands through Radharani's hair, Keshava, Radha Keshava. Nice name for deities, huh? Radha Keshava. He plays in Radharani's hair. When doesn't he play? He plays a then his last act in his drama is magician drama. He plays a disappearing act. That's the best one of the magicians. This is a desirable position that Nityananda was moreover, he says residing, but to be more exact, he was playing in his heart, and he was playing with him in his heart. And that is he's giving the example here. He's pointing us in the direction of Purushottam Das. Is pointing all Raghunuga sadhakas in the direction of true life. This is where to live. This is what to have in the heart. One should always have God in the heart and live in the heart with God. So he's an example of that. Nityananda Chandra Hridaya Vihari. Purushottam Dashera Sharire Nityananda Hridaya Vihari. In the body of Purushottam Das, there's a heart, as all bodies. But his heart was not full of mundane desires and aspirations. His heart was full of lila. And the Raghunuga Sadaka, his perfection is to fill his heart full of lila. It's called Asta Kaliya Lila Smarnam. Smarna Bhajan. That he passes his time from morning to night, remembering in his heart of hearts, core of his heart, remembering the beautiful, ever unfolding eightfold daily pastimes of Radha Govinda Yugo. In the groves of Vrindavan, in the pastures of Vrindavan, in the palaces of Vrindavan, in the rivers of Vrindavan, in the lakes of Vrindavan, the rivers of Yamuna, the lakes of Pavan Sarovara, Manasi Ganga, Radhakund. This is the heart of the devotee. Radha Govinda Hridaya Vilas. Radha Govinda Yugala Hridaya Bihari. Nityananda Hridaya Bihari. Because this is a sequence, this is a sadhana krama, bhajan krama. That first, Guru Deva Hridaya Bihari. Guru Deva Hridaya Bihari. That Gurudev enters deep in the heart and he plays there. And one always remembers his guru and sees his guru in so many things and remembers his guru's anecdotes and experiences and teachings and so many events and occurrences in his daily life and worships his guru. It's not a yearly function. It's a moment-to-moment function. Guru Puja, Guru Worship, Guru Smaran, Guru Charan. Some chaps have the name Guru Charan, devotees. Guru Charan. Sri Guru Charana Padma. Our consciousness should be, and people get the feet of the Guru and they keep them in their house and in bronze and of Srila Prabhupada, and it's a very nice idea, but they should really be embronzed in the heart and consciousness. The Guru is an internal affair. Guru deals with Atma. And when Guru plays in the heart, then Guru introduces one to Nityananda. When Nityananda plays in the heart, Nityananda first plays in the heart by engaging one in the chanting of Krishna's name. This is the proof that Nityananda is residing in the heart, that one has a compulsion to chant Krishna's name. This is the proof that one has been enlisted in the club of the Namhata. This is the proof that Nityananda has accepted him in his club. He has one club, very exclusive club, although he doesn't want it to be exclusive. He wants it to be all-inclusive. He wants every human being to join his club. It's called the Nittai's Namhata Club. You can get a t-shirt and wear that NHC. Oh, you don't know? Nittai, no.
NHC.
Yeah. Just say NHC, because N is for Nityananda, Nam, all in one. Nityananda's Namhata Club. So that's his first idea, or first proof that Nityananda Chandra Hridaya Bihari, that Nityananda, because if Nityananda is living in the heart, what's the proof? Because it says here, what does it say? It says Purushottam Das had no external consciousness because Nityananda was always playing in his heart. Well, how does Nityananda play? He plays by chanting Hare Krishna. He's always engaged in Nam Sankirtan. In fact, he dances to the tune of Krishna, his master's name. And whatever his master's name is, he dances. Where does he dance? Who sees him dance? Only a devotee can see the Lord. Non-devotees can't see. Even he comes in Panihati and so many places, Gauranitai came. Not everyone saw. They were there. The devotees saw. So when Nityananda Chandra, Hridaya Vihari, when he lives in the heart of the devotee, the proof of it is the devotee is always chanting the holy name. When a devotee is chanting the holy name, then he sees Nityananda in his heart dancing. And when he's chanting, if he's chanting a Nam Sankirtan, Harinam Sankirtan, chanting Shudanam, Nityananda is dancing there, wherever Shudanam is chanted, Nam Sankirtan. So then the devotee's relishing his internal experience because he's not in external consciousness, the pure devotees. I'm describing pure devotees. And then he's happy with that, and then what? And no one else can see. He's seeing what no one else can see. So that's why when we would attend a kirtan where Prabhupada's chanting Jaya Radha Madhav, then Hare Krishna, we felt some presence. We couldn't see Nityananda, but we felt something extraordinary. Because little did we know that it was the Nityananda Prabhav emanating from the radio, from the nuclear reactor of Prabhupada's heart. Nityananda was dancing inside the nuclear reactor of Prabhupada's heart, and explosions were going on there and coming out in the form of tears in Prabhupada's eyes and emanating an intensely powerful radiation that saturated the entire room of devotees, the 400 devotees, and they went wild with the bliss of Prabhupada's Nam Sankirtan. I was one of them. I saw it, not on a film, I was there, 10 feet away from Prabhupada, on his Vyasa-san, in L.A., the old temple and the new temple.